प्रायणापायुषसभ्यः कलावस्मिन् युगे जनाः मन्दास्मन्दमतयो मन्दभाग्या हि उपद्रुताः. Translation: O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Any ever meet any people like that when you go out on book distribution? Purport. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. Please don't put Srimad Bhagavatam in the same place where you put your feet. Thank you. For that matter, it's not good to put it on your legs even. You see, people, devotees put the book on their leg. That's also not proper. Okay. When the sages of Naimisharanya analyzed the state of affairs of the people in this age of Kali, they foresaw that men would live short lives. In Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shorter, not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Well, I'm trying. I try to keep regular habits and simple food, but I guess so many years of irregular habits and non-simple food have made me somewhat not so healthy. Overeating, over-sense gratification, over-dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. Human life is a means by which the living entity can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know about it, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachers.
In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad associations, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, bickerings, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of anxieties due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths, which are not based on any revealed scriptures, and very often people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on that the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student, brahmachari, communities are no longer being maintained, and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the grihastha ashram. Consequently, the so-called vanprasthas and sannyasis who come out of such grihastha ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. In the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization. For the maintenance of such material civilizations, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It has become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standard due to the present distorted values of human society. The sages of Naimisharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls, and here they are seeking the remedy from Srila Sukta Goswami. Over this age, capable of knowing devotees beneficial at this time in Kali Yuga, people are generally short-lived, lazy, unintelligent, devoid of good fortune, of devotee association, and afflicted by various problems. Commentary.
So Srila Prabhupada's purport is, as usual, a brilliant exposition of observable reality. And he also gives brilliant expositions of reality which is at present not observable to us, but which is observable by liberated souls like himself. So when people read this, they must be shocked, isn't it, at how brilliantly Prabhupada exposes everything. I mean, just like in one line, due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. It's just like in just one line, just reveals everything. People, there are books written about how the modern education is deliberately misleading people, and Prabhupada just sums it all up in one word. But even these books that write about how the modern education system is misleading people, they don't get to the point that the real point of life is self-realization. So they see that there's something wrong with it, but they don't get to the crux of the problem. Now, Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary has made an interesting analysis. Srila Prabhupada in his purport discusses these disqualifications of the people of the age of Kali one by one, as like separate bad qualities. People have short lives, they are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. That all people tend to have these qualities. Now, Viswanath has put them in a sequence, like one follows the other. It's very interesting. That's what I wanted to communicate this. In Kali Yuga, people are generally short-lived. Prayana, alpa ayusha, short-lived. This is an important verse, which you can all, I guess you have to learn Gita shlokas, but you can learn this also. Now, so Viswanath points out that in Kali Yuga, people are generally short-lived. Now, if by chance they happen to have a long life, and life, as is mentioned in the second chapter of this first canto, Anyway, life is not meant for sense gratification. Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveta yavata. One should live not for sense gratification, but for self-realization. But even if people do have a sufficiently long life, they're too lazy to investigate spiritual topics. And even if someone is not lazy, then he's unintelligent. We find that even people who do take interest in spiritual topics, that they're stupid. And therefore, well, that's the next thing. Even if someone is intelligent, he is unfortunate, for he is devoid of association with devotees to teach the highest actions. Yeah, mostly people are unintelligent. Otherwise, how could they go to some Ammar or Bappa or Baba, these three terms which I often use, and everyone can immediately understand who we're talking about. I often talk about these different kinds of cheetahs, the Ammas and Babas and Bappas. Well, in North India they know Bappa. Here they don't know him so much, that rascal. There's one very good thing about him. He's got the name Ram in his name. This Asharam, so-called Bappa. Glad I didn't have him as my Bappa. Bapa means father, right? So, so people are unintelligent. Even if they're not lazy, they take some interest in spiritual life. They're unintelligent, and they go to completely stupid people who totally cheat them. But even if they are somewhat intelligent, they're unfortunate. If they're interested in maybe something more authentic, like the Shastric or Vedantic, we'll find that often people who in India, people who become interested in spiritual life, they look for something Vedantic, and they think Ramakrishna Mission is Vedanta or Aurobindo. They don't get good association. Of course, it's changing now because of the widespread distribution of Prabhupada's books. But at least in India, people, if they're actually interested in spiritual life, they used to read Vivekananda's books. And that's really unfortunate. And in the West also, the people they read kind of pseudo, well, it's impersonalistic kind of Hindu books or Buddhist books. This Hermann Hesse books were very popular in our generation. You heard of Hermann Hesse? Steppenwolf and The Glass Bead Game. And I never heard of him. And there's Dostoevsky, some Western impersonalists. And then Buddhism is very popular in the West. They're Western Buddhists. So, they're unfortunate. They're looking for something, even if they're looking for something authentic, they don't get association of devotees. And even if they do get association of devotees, he is afflicted with sickness and other problems. So we see some devotees, they're so sick that they can't concentrate on spiritual life. It's very difficult. Like that Sarvabhauma was there in Salem, and one of my godbrothers in Calcutta, I used to give him a massage every day. He was very, very sick and couldn't do any service. He died eventually. So like that, often people are sick or they're mentally afflicted also. We find that. Some people, they want to be devotees, but they're actually, they suffer from depression or they can't deal with others properly, or they mistreat others. They're mentally disturbed. I was listening to a lecture by Dev Amrit Swami. He said that so many people in the modern age, they're raised in a home where no one cares for them, or they're beaten so much at home, or they're sexually abused, and they want to be devotees, but they've got so much what we call mental baggage. It's very difficult for them to apply themselves to trust anyone, or they have such habits of self-preservation that they just can't give themselves to others, which is required in devotional service. To surrender, you have to give yourself. Under the control of affliction from sickness and other problems, he does not get time to hear from the mouth of the devotee. Now that's a major problem in the modern age, isn't it? That people, they become devotees, but they don't have time for devotional service. It requires time. It requires time to chant 16 rounds, which is actually, that's a special allowance that Prabhupada gave, because we should chant actually 64 rounds. We don't have time and we don't have the taste. So, or people don't have time. It means they're working so hard, such long hours, that the time to sit and hear and read and chant, and they don't get time, even if they want to. And even if they do get the time to hear from the mouth of the devotee, or even if he does hear, he still can't work it out. He still can't get it together. Even after much hearing, just like Prabhupada, he would quote a a Bengali saying, after hearing all the Ramayana, they're asking, who is Sita the father of? Does that come in Hindi also, that saying? In Gujarati also, yeah. Yeah, it's like widespread. In Telugu also, it's a pan-India joke. That people, they Shunilena Shune Khan, Narottam Das says, they're hearing, but somehow their ear didn't get it. So it's another symptom of being unintelligent, I guess. And you see, just like in Belgaum the other day, someone was asking me, he's actually well learned in the philosophy, a good devotee, but he was asking me a question that, well, there's a bodily concept of life, but then when you come to the spiritual, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, Shringaras, isn't that also a bodily concept of life? So it's just Mayavad. You're thinking that Krishna's body is mundane and relationships with him are mundane. It's Mayavad. That's why I gave two heavy lectures there on Mayavad. In Belgaum, both of them are saying how our own devotees are even after reading and hearing, they're still affected. Some are so. Or even if he does hear, he cannot discern the highest goal for the human being and then carry out actions to attain it. And they just can't get it together. Or, Vishwanath concludes, or the sequence of qualities can mean that all people have all the bad qualities, which is how Prabhupada explains it. So that's it. That's us and everyone else, but we're in a better situation, having got some sprinkling of dust from the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada in the form of his mercy. So, as Prabhupada begins this purport, the devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public, so get out there and distribute these books. And that's all I'll say today. Hare Krishna. And take enough rest. I saw in Mangalati, you'd like to get up early, but then if you're not rested properly, it's difficult to interact with people and can be dangerous for driving also. You also, you see, you're getting up early, but you're often looking very tired in the morning. So we don't want to sleep too much, but not too little also. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? You're just doing chapter 6. Well, there's one which specifically addresses this. It's the verse before that, I believe. Natyashnatastu yogosti nachai kantam anashnataha Nasvapna jati shilasya jagrato naiva charjuna. One who eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or sleeps too little, cannot be a yogi. Then the next verse is yuktahara viharasya yukta svapnava bodhasya. Yukta. What's the next line? Yukta svapnava bodhasya yukta. Anyway. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasya yukta svapnava bodhasya yoga bhavati dukaha. Left out the second line. That yoga, in yoga one has to be regulated in eating, sleeping and activities. Then we can overcome misery by yoga. Okay, so Kali Yuga is very bad. Oh, one other point I was discussing with Gurudas Prabhu this morning. Another shocking factor of Kali Yuga that sometimes happens is that, well, I had this experience actually many times in Bangladesh and in my early days of traveling Sankirtan in England and Ireland. Twice in England and Ireland, we were on traveling Sankirtan and a devotee ran off with a week's collection. He's a devotee, but ran off with a collection. One of them we never saw again. The other one used to come back again and again and steal the money again and again and like that. But he was actually a devotee, but he had just from time to time he'd become weak and then think about going and drinking or something and take the money. I saw him maybe about 10 years ago. Still a devotee of sorts. I don't know, maybe he's dead now. He was quite old even at that time. Anyway, we should be more careful. And because I was told that you're leaving money lying around thinking who will steal it, we're all devotees, but we don't know how tricky Maya can be. So it's better not to make a temptation. It's better to put the money in the bank quickly and don't... If there's lots of money there, maybe just putting some idea into someone's head who doesn't really want to do that. It's just like Ajamil didn't plan to fall down with the woman, but when he saw that, he became attracted. It stirred something in the heart. So better not to make a temptation. Put the money away. Put it in the bank regularly. And be safe, and don't be so naive that thinking that every devotee is already a Paramahamsa. That doesn't mean we totally distrust everyone, but we have to be pragmatic also. Do you know what pragmatic means? It means practical, realistic. Acting in a manner which is in line with reality. All right, Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada.